This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you and yours. We hope it's been a good one. The weather's been spectacular. Nothing wrong with that at all. High school football state finals started yesterday. In 1A, Indianapolis Lutheran beat Adams Central 35-28. In 3A, it was Chatard completing a perfect season by beating Heritage Hills and giving them their only loss of the season, 35-7. And last night, Snyder beat Decatur Central 33-6. Today, Lewers takes on North Posey. That starts in just under 2 hours from now. Of course, the big game that we're all watching is Northwood and East Central. That will start at 3 o'clock for the 4A championship. And then the 6A game is Crown Point, who's undefeated at 13-0, and Ben Davis, who is 12-1, and that will start at 7 o'clock. The Warsaw Lady Tigers kind of ended some frustration. 7 years of it on Tuesday by beating Penn. That came a couple of days after they had won both of their games at the Doonlin Athletic Conference, Northern Lakes Conference shootout up in Merrillville. We'll talk with Lenny Krebs about that coming up next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake, and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Invest your money in a bank that invests into the heart of the community where you live and work. Crossroads Bank makes sensible loans to friends and neighbors so that together our communities grow. Visit crossroadsbanking.com or stop in at one of their locations with offices in Columbia City, North Manchester, Peru, South Whitley, Syracuse, Wabash, and Warsaw. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet, Crossroads Bank.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Alder & Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Alder & Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Alder & Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at alderforbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Krebs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing well. I'm getting ready to leave here and go to practice. It's always a good day when you get to go to the gym.
Did you stuff yourself on Thursday?
Well, I had Thanksgiving on Wednesday and Thursday. Two different families. So I didn't really stuff myself either day, but between the 2 days, definitely enough food. I'm glad it's them running in the gym and not me.
Yeah. Do you need a chair for practice today?
I do not need a chair. I'll still be good to get around.
All right. So let's go back to last Saturday because we haven't talked since then. What a day of basketball your girls put up against two teams that had played well. Merrillville clearly better. Crown Point had played well, and Zolkowski is a terrific athlete and a really good basketball player, and you went in there and beat both of them.
You know, I'm proud of the effort. You saw some of the pieces starting to come together. I'm sure people thought after Norwell, what the heck's going on? You know, then we go to Snyder and play a good game, just come out on the short end there at Snyder. People are probably thinking 1-2, holy cow, what's going on? We talked, you and I talked, the coaching staff talked. We knew that that was a realistic possibility that we could be setting 1-2 after three games. You know, you go back to the previous year, and we were 2-1 after three games, and you look at the opponents that we played, and we told the girls we're better right now at 1-2 than we were last year at 2-1. You saw those pieces starting to come together, and what you saw at the Doonland was those pieces finally starting to really fit together. The girls starting to figure out the puzzle on how everything worked. Just a great day of basketball. I loved our pace. You know, you go back, Crown Point wanted no part of that pace by the third quarter. They were gassed and had to turn around and play Northridge, who pressed them again. If you were watching the Northridge Crown Point, by then Crown Point was just done playing. Merivale, same thing. I still remember Coach Spiker with about 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. He looks at me and he says, "Don't you dare call a timeout right now. They're gassed." And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, but so are we. And our girls just know how to play through that fatigue. They know how to push through it because that's how we practice every day. We shot the ball extremely well all day long. Just a great day of basketball for us.
Well, and you have other people, right? I mean, the thing that you have struggled to do is play past seven people. Now you can play 10. And even with the injuries that you have to Delaney and now to Kyra, you still can go at least nine deep on your bench, or four deep on your bench.
Yeah, we definitely can go deeper. It's a matter of getting those kids that experience and finding the right time to do it so that they can have some success doing what we do. And we're working on developing that bench. That Dune Lind made us develop that a little bit more in those two games, because you're playing two games in one day, you're playing our style of play. You have to go past 5, 6, 7. Those four kids continue to get better and grow and learn. And I just have to tell you, I'm so proud of Braylee Chastain. She was thrown into the fire with some injuries. We were counting on her being a bench player and having a role that was off the bench and probably not as big as we have her playing right now. But man, she stepped into that role and she's been a star in it.
I hope this comes out right, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm criticizing her or belittling her at all. We didn't see anything like this with her last season. This is a totally different looking basketball player. What changed with her? Was it just the opportunity and she stepped up into that role? I mean, she looks the part of being a varsity basketball player.
You know, Braylee has, did we see this last year? I don't know. I can't say yes or no, because it's hard to compare a JV season to a varsity season. Different types of teams, different types of just everything. But what I can tell you about Braylee is she worked hard from last year to this year. We talk all the time about, are you preparing for an opportunity or are you waiting for an opportunity? Those of you who prepare for opportunities, when they come, that job's yours, that relationship's yours, that whatever you want to put in there is yours because you're preparing for it. Other people wait for opportunities. They don't spend that time getting better. And when that opportunity comes, they're caught off guard. And they're the ones that usually don't end up with whatever it is they want. I can tell you, Braylee, even through the preseason when she still didn't know what her role was going to be, she was continuing to prepare as if she was going to do this. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the result of this. And, you know, that's a life lesson for all these kids. You want to make sure you're preparing and not waiting.
In the two games, you forced 40 total turnovers and then backed that up by shooting 57 of 102, which is like 56.5%, 25 of 54 from three-point range. You only shot seven free throws, but you made all seven. We've been waiting for this team to shoot the ball that way, and they picked the right day to do it.
You know, you mentioned it, Snyder. We haven't seen this team shoot the ball well yet. You know, and in my mind, I'm going, I know. I hope it's coming. And it did happen. And I guess the thing that I am trying to get the girls to understand is that shooting percentage came from us moving the basketball, working the basketball, passing up a good shot to get a teammate a great shot. And shooting percentages have a way of increasing when you do that. And, you know, that Merivale game, we had three kids score at least 20 points. You and I were talking about that. I think our kids are starting to realize, if I give it up, I might get it back in an even better position, and really learning to feed off each other. And that's what you started to see over the course of the day on Saturday, just that confidence and the trust in each other.
You get out of that. You survive those 2 days healthy, and even though we teased Cassie and the trainer from Merivale, that they were way too busy on that Saturday. There were girls on the deck a lot during that day. You make it out with all your players intact, and that's positive because that hasn't always happened when we go up that way. And you only have 3 days then to turn around and play a Penn team that you haven't beaten in 7 years. What was your message to the team Monday at practice, Tuesday in the walkthrough, getting ready for that Tuesday night game against Penn when you haven't beaten them in a long, long time?
No, I think the big message has been, one, we are good enough. We just need to be the best version of us we can be. We showed them some Penn film from last year, how Penn dictated the pace that entire game. Penn chose what type of pace they were going to play when we played Penn last year. We showed them what that looked like, and just convinced them that, you know what, we just need to go be us, the best version of us. We are good enough. I challenged the girls in the locker room before the game that it was time to step up and make a play. It's your time to step up. When that spotlight is now on, it's easy to make plays against the teams that we should beat. Now it's time to make a play against the teams that we haven't beaten in a long time. It's time to get that monkey off of our back. And I had multiple people just talk about, well, we want to beat them in February. We do. But I think the mindset of getting over that hurdle is huge. Now, the same thing with, you know, us and Northridge. For a long time, we couldn't beat Northridge. Once you get over the hurdle once, it's easier. Doesn't make the game easier. It makes it easier mentally to prepare for that type of game. In beating Penn, it removes that mental block that we can't do this. Can we do this? I don't know that. All that doubt, and just puts that deep-seated belief in your mind that we can win this game. And that was the importance of this game. In my mind, it was more of a mental win than a physical win.
The first quarter, Penn survived. They had a little spurt right before the end of the quarter, actually had the ball twice at the end of the quarter to take the lead after one. And then those middle two quarters, your kids just absolutely dominated the game, 44-19 combined in the second and third quarters. And you could tell by the middle of the third quarter that Penn was done. They were ready to move on to the next game because this was just not going to happen for them.
You know, you saw those middle two quarters. That's where our fatigue starts to kick in with our pace. A lot of teams can survive that for a quarter. They can survive it for two quarters. They might even be able to survive it for two and a half. It eventually takes its toll on you playing that pace. And, you know, you go back and watch that game. We were doing a great job of pushing that ball up the floor, just getting it, even if Penn scored, getting it out, pushing it up, pushing it ahead of their pressure, making them sprint the floor to get back on defense, handle pressure for 90 feet to get the ball up the court. I thought our girls were pretty relentless in that sense, and that's fatiguing. Those middle two quarters were the result of playing that way in the first quarter as well as the second and the third. I still remember in my mind walking out at halftime and seeing Penn come around, and they didn't even go warm up. They sat down on their bench. And at that point in time, in my mind, I'm going, we just need to keep the pace. We need to keep the pace. They don't want to do this. And that's what you saw. Once again, you and I compare it to driving in that snowstorm. It's easy to drive for the first hour. Second and third hour, fourth hour, it gets tough. And that was a result of our constant pressure.
Shot the ball well, 45, almost 45%, 13 of 30 from three-point range, which is very normal. I think one of the things that has been better during these last three games compared to even the first three, including the Fort Wayne Northside game, is having, like a baseball pitcher, having that other pitch. Being able to get to the basket, drive to the basket, create other opportunities besides three-point shots, that has then sucked defenses back in to open up the three-point arc.
You know, many, many people sitting in the stands only see the three-point attempt. Oh, there's a three. You know, there's a three. We are looking at how we get that three-point shot. We use the expression, we want to puncture the defense versus trimming the edge. We don't want to trim the edge. We don't want that ball being dribbled around the perimeter. We want that ball to be punctured inside the defense. We want to make him collapse, and we want those threes coming from the inside out. And you know, that's something you're starting to see. You're starting to see our kids go to the basket more. Zartman's going to the basket more. She's putting the ball on the floor. She's starting to do that. Bricker is a threat to get downhill at any point in time. Winchester's doing a great job of putting the ball on the floor. Same thing with Neely. We've created some ISOs with those people. And from the coaching perspective, we're really looking for that mismatch to go, who can we isolate to try to get our kids to the rim and then play off of that penetration. And that is a big difference. It's something we have to have. In order to be successful with our schedule, we have to be able to get to the basket.
About the only thing you really can complain about from Tuesday night was the rebounds. 41-27, Penn out-rebounded you, and they got 18 offensive rebounds compared to your 20 defensive rebounds. What happened there?
You know, I think, one, there were a lot more shots missed, probably. I mean, Penn was not shooting a high percentage. Two, that goes back to our pace. I think we were getting tired. You started to see some fatigue, and it's natural. These are 14 to 18-year-old girls. They're going to find a period of time to rest at some, whether you know they're resting or not, they're going to find a period to rest. And I guess if that's where they're going to do it, at least we're pushing the ball up the other way. Do we have to do a better job of that? Yes, because if teams get 18 offensive rebounds and are successful with converting them into points, we have a different ball game. That's something we're working on. In fact, today, one of the first drills, 3-on-3 blockout. We're going to get those things fixed. We're a firm believer that these girls can get those things fixed. That was the one thing that stood out to us that we have to do a better job of as well.
Josh Bricker, the last three games, 26 out of 38 from the field. She always has worked hard. She really put a lot of time into her game, especially around the basket, where as a freshman she was pretty good last year. 26 out of 38, that's a pretty high percentage.
You know, and you look at her shot, she's scoring from all three, like, parts of it, from three-point range, from putting the ball on the floor and pulling up, from getting to the basket. She can score from anywhere on the court, and that's what makes her so dangerous. And she's got that little hesitation move where she can just hesitate and blow by people. We do try to put her in situations to isolate her with her defender one-on-one, because we know people can't defend her. She's definitely playing at a high level. And the amazing thing is the kid's still a sophomore. I mean, you think about that. Just a great, great player. We feed off of her energy. And, you know, we ask her to do a lot. Handle the ball, bring it up against pressure, pick up full court man-to-man. We demand a lot of her. And she definitely doesn't disappoint.
So you get the win over Penn. You get a couple of days off for Thanksgiving, for the holiday. You practiced last night. The kids are practicing right now. You're headed over there here in a few minutes. And then Tuesday, we start conference play. Northwood will be here. Taylor Burkhart's bunch had a much improved season a year ago. Tell us, kind of give us the 30-second thumbnail on Northwood, what you expect on Tuesday from them.
You know, I think Northwood's definitely going to try to control the tempo. They're going to try to do a better job of controlling the tempo, not letting us get out and run as much, trying to contain us and slow us down. At the same time, I think they're going to try to punch the ball inside to Payne and let Payne operate, see if she can't get Winchester in foul trouble, Neely in foul trouble, maybe take advantage of a mismatch if we've switched. That's what you're going to see from them. Our big thing is we have to dictate the pace. We have to pick up the pressure. We have to make them work for 32 minutes. A blinding snowstorm, to go back to that. That's what we have to have, just 32 minutes of complete chaos. I don't think they're going to handle that well. At the same time, this is our sectional week. You know, we play Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. We told the kids the week before when we played the Duneland, that was our semi-state week, two games in one day. So we're trying to build these weeks in. This is our sectional week. And you know what? We've got to be successful on Tuesday in order to move on.
And that semifinal sort of game is Friday at Ben Davis. Saturday, you go to Westfield. Ben Davis's record doesn't look very good, but they played some good teams. Westfield looks like a really good team. And I remember being at Homestead and Huntington North and getting the scores that your girls were winning those Ben Davis Westfield games and thinking, this is the moment where we wondered how good these girls were, and we have just found out how good these girls were. And now we've come almost 365 days later, and we're going to find out again, right, how good these girls are when they take on these two teams on the road down in Indy.
You know, you look at Ben Davis. They've played the number one strength of schedule in the state. Everybody's telling me, well, they're 1-5, they're 1-6, whatever they are, don't care. You look at their schedule, it's brutal. Same thing with Westfield. They're going to be well-coached. They're going to be, you know, disciplined, and they're going to do what they do well. We are going to find out how good we're capable of being. Are we going to win both games? I don't know. I want to play them. I want to get better. I want to continue to prepare for that conference championship, for the sectional championship. That's what these games are built for. And, you know, it's not necessarily a mark of how good we are. It's can we use them to get better? That's our goal with every game. And those two teams are definitely going to expose some weaknesses and give us opportunities to get better.
Sitting in a gymnasium watching Northridge play and then playing two games with their coaches sitting there watching, what's that experience like?
You know, you often sit there and go, should I keep something in my back pocket? Should I?
This is why I'm asking the question.
You know, at the same time, nothing we do is going to escape Doug Springer and some of those coaches. Doug is one of the most detailed coaches I know. He prepares. He finds everything. I still remember every call we had offensively. He responded with a call defensively. They had an assistant coach sitting there, like, lining up calls to what they were doing defensively. I just had to make a joke out of it. So we put a new play in called Springer. Doug was sitting there wondering why he was yelling his name the whole time. We have fun with those types of things as well and just enjoy it. But you know what? He's going to prepare for us. He's going to find that game film. The goal becomes we just have to be better at what we do on that day than he does. Maybe one or two wrinkles that you might see, you know. But other than that, we just have to go be us and be the best version that we can be.
And I want to take a couple of minutes and talk about the JV, who's 5-1. And every time I watch them play, I just think, my goodness, there are babies out here playing basketball. There's so much youth and inexperience on the junior varsity that it's fascinating to watch them step by step, game by game, and how they progress.
No, our JV team continues to grow and get better. That youth you're seeing at the JV level is a result of us trying to build depth at the varsity level. You know, we're pulling more kids up so that we can try to build that depth. Then you're seeing that youth right there. And what you are seeing reminds me of a toddler trying to walk. The first game was wobbly. They were falling a lot. They were, like, just failing. They were having trouble figuring out that next step. And you're slowly seeing them become more confident in taking those steps that they need to be successful. I'm proud of the group. The one thing that they struggle with the most is a result of us bringing in a boys' practice squad, because the JV used to always go against the varsity. Well, the JV was the one that benefited from playing better people, so you saw improvement quickly over the course of that because they're playing better competition every day in practice. Now that we have a boys' practice squad, and we try to bring them in a couple times a week, at least for an hour, 15 minutes. They have to figure out how to get better on their own against the freshman team and with each other. And that's the one thing that I can see them struggling with over the course of the season, because we have to bring that boys' practice squad in to push us in order to get better. And I'm curious how they go about this over the course of the season. Coach Bragg's doing a phenomenal job with that group. He's teaching them to run our stuff. And they're prepared to do what we need them to do.
Okay, we'll see you Tuesday.
Yep, thank you.
Lane Krebs of the Lady Tigers. Tuesday, they host Northwood. We'll be on the air starting at 7:25 on News Now Warsaw. Lenny's going to go out and get a donut, and they're brought to you by the Warsaw Donut Shop on South Buffalo Street in Warsaw. They take care of our coaches and players during the sports season by giving us donuts and drinks. When we come back, Matt Moore previews the boys' basketball season, which begins tonight at Columbia City. That's next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball.
Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin, and hair. All bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Freshen the look of your home for the holidays with a visit to Reinholds Town Square Furniture in Warsaw. Hi, this is Hannah. During the Black Friday sale, you'll find terrific savings throughout the entire store, plus extra savings on all in-stock reclining Lazy Boy sofas and sectionals. And save up to $800 on select smart mattress and base sets from Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, and Sealy. 118 West Main Street in Warsaw. Reinholds Town Square Furniture, your friends in the furniture business.
Hello, I'm Jay Rigdon with Rock Hill Pinnock. I had to chuckle the other day because I heard a lawyer on TV say you should come to their firm because they're the attorneys you know. But yet, you've never heard of them except from the television commercials. The attorneys at Rock Hill Pinnock are part of this community. We may help coach your kids at T-ball, see you at a golf match, or simply be your friend or neighbor. If you don't know one of us yet, chances are someone you know does. But whether you know us already or not, we hope you'll give us a call and get to know us as your attorneys. Call 267-6116 for an appointment today. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
Progressive Insurance, Home Depot, Babbel. You recognize the names? Know what they have in common? Effective advertising. It boosts top-of-mind awareness. When consumers are making purchase decisions, they think of brands or retailers they already know. Radio works because listeners remember ads, 82% per Nielsen. Yep, radio's ad recall is 82% when listening to great radio stations like the one you're listening to right now. Let us help your business grow. Contact Woody at woody@kensington.media, where we are working for you.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. How was your off season?
It's been fantastic. You know, we've got a group now that has kind of come through the ringer with us, and they understand kind of what we're about, and I think we've got a ton of buy-in. I think we've got really strong leadership at the top, and you know, we've had consistency in our staff, and I think all those things kind of mixed in together. We have a vision, and we're trying to build off seasons past, and I think thus far it's been really, really good.
Okay, so the question that I have been asking not only you but your guys, it is a situational question because you lose guys like Jackson and Drew. They took all the big shots almost in every situation in every close game last season. So I asked the guys, 2 minutes to go, we're down by three, you need a bucket, either a two or a three, who's taking that shot? And they've all had, it's been funny to listen to them, because they've all had different guys that they mentioned. So I'm going to ask the question to you a different way. With the leadership that you got from Jackson and Drew, that's a huge void to fill. Who have been the voices in the locker room, in the huddles, in practice, who have kind of who are filling that void?
Yeah, man, I think you first start with, you don't replace Jackson Gould and Drew Heckeman and, you know, a Ben Bergen and a Judas Nfukwe. I think guys have to grow in their own ability to influence the locker room and games. That being said, you know, I think that we have seen a lot of growth in our program the last 3 years in what we want leadership to look like, and I think guys have come alongside where there have been gaps to fill. And I think off the bat, right away, Carson is that. I think naturally he got to see that being with Jackson as closely as he has in recent time as a varsity player. But even Luke Yeager, I think, you know, Brant Martin's voice has grown in pockets. You're not going to see a lot of those guys though be as vocal maybe as you've seen Jackson. But it will be different. And I think the thing that they have, this group in particular, they do spend a lot of time with one another off the court. And I think their nuances about how they communicate, though as a coach you want it to be verbal and you want it to be, you know, very direct, it's still very effective for this group. And I think, you know, Robbie Finlinson's done a tremendous job in just his voice and growing. But I think Carson ultimately is the ringleader for the group, and I think he has a great understanding. And his dialogue with me has grown tremendously since the summer. And I think in Jackson's absence and Drew's absence and Will's absence and Nick's absence, some of those guys now are feeling comfortable like they can because before those other seniors would have just said what needed to be said, and the other guys didn't need to. But in this case, I think everybody's kind of stepping forward a little bit in some way.
You go to Kokomo for the scrimmage. They came here last year. Flory Badunga looks like Flory Badunga. He's big time. He's going to Kansas. And he looked every bit of that. So in the scrimmage, lots of coaches look for different things, but the one thing you want is to kind of shake things out, right? To see how you stack up against other teams who are scouting you and working on you. Did you get to see that? Because Kokomo is number one in the state. They're really, really good. They're like showing up in the top 10 in max preps in the country. Did you get to see from your team what you needed to see before you play at 7:30 tonight?
Yeah, I think most definitely. I think you really have to go into those scrimmages because of the format. It's truly not a game atmosphere in terms of, like, you're not shooting free throws. It's a running clock. Like, strategically, like, you're really just trying to, like you said, iron out some things and see some things. You know, we had really not spent any time on the zone quarter. We're not a zone team. We don't play a lot of zone. We don't see a lot of zone. So, you know, for a 15-minute segment of the 60 minutes, we're playing and playing against a lot of zone. So we really went into that with the understanding these are the things we've been investing in. These are the things we need to see a return on. And then are the areas that we're not having success, are they things that we can fix? And that's where I think as we left the scrimmage, you know, we got what we would call big advantage shots. We got a ton of big advantage shots. We got open looks, and we're going to shoot those. And that was a good takeaway. We also had a ton of turnovers, and those are things that I think you can quickly improve upon with just decision making and ball handling and drill work. I want to say we had 27 turnovers in that four quarter period, and that's a ton. But if you just cut those in half and get shots on half of those turnovers, then it just changes the outcome of the game in many ways. So yeah, we were very pleased with kind of how that experience went for us.
You're not going to play a team like Kokomo in the regular season. As long and as quick and as defensively willing to give effort as Kokomo is. You have some really good teams on your schedule. It's a hard schedule. Can you take what happened with those 27 turnovers in those four running quarters, can you project that to a regular game? Because, again, long and fast and quick, how does that project out in what you're going to see tonight against Columbia City and next weekend against Homestead and Huntington North?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it will translate. You know, Columbia City's going to extend in a 1-2-2, and they're going to add some soft pressure. And they play really hard. I don't think that's going to be in any game that we play. I don't think that how hard teams play. But you're right. I think they just add a different dynamic in their athleticism and their ability to close out with length. And then I think some of the turnovers that you're looking at is, are they created because we're getting sped up and we're not being patient to make reads? Are they coming because we're trying to force something that's really not there? Is it something where we're playing off 1 foot versus 2 feet? Like, so those are some of the things where I think you just look at kind of the personnel and where they came from. And they came in flurries. And a lot of those things are just our inability to slow down. And I think, you know, even though we have a lot of guys returning that have seen some varsity action, I think you still have to grow in your seasoned ability to play in those games. Like, this team really, you know, these guys in particular, I was going back the other day, like, you know, just think of game winners, right? So Lake Central, Jackson hits one in year one for me. Elkhart, both times Jackson hit one. Drew hit one. Like, there have been pockets where these guys were at the game, but they weren't in the game. They weren't the reason for that stuff happening. And so they're going to have to go through some of that and grow. And I think that they will, and I think that they're going to be in a position to have to play through some of those turnovers, and we're going to have to give them that distance to do that. But yeah, I think it's something that as we go into these next few games, we have to control the things that we have mastery over.
And what are those things? What things can this team control?
I think the top thing for us is how hard we play. You know, I think for guys to have belief in, you know, the direction we're trying to play, we are trying to play faster in some ways. That doesn't mean, you know, we're just chucking jumpers, but I think how hard you play is a measurable thing for us. And I think defensively, I think we're going to come back to, are we guarding things the way that we expect our team to guard? Are the things that we're repping? Can we play off misses and get baskets in transition? And I think, you know, Luke Yeager's an example of, he's truly a physical specimen in many ways, because he's going to be the tallest, one of the most athletic, and you know, the biggest person on the floor in most games. And, you know, we're going to utilize him, but I think his success can truly come free throw line to free throw line, because when you get a locomotive that big in movement, it's really hard to slow that thing down. In the half court, you know, you can throw two guys at him, you can double him, you can front him. But just getting guys like Luke to understand, like, man, like, just give me free throw line to free throw line dead sprint, and we'll get you the ball. And if they don't get you the ball, then I can take them out and play somebody else that will. But those are the things that we can measure, is how hard are we playing? Are we defending? Is our coverage is right? Are we rebounding the ball? I think we'll share the basketball. I think that's the thing about this group I really enjoy, is they're going to give up good shots for great shots. And if we do that, then I think those things, you know, eventually will play out the way they're supposed to.
It goes back to something that you said fairly early in the season last year. You had analytics numbers that said when we have a certain lineup in the game, the ball movement is better, shot selection is better, those big advantage shots tend to pop up more often, and those are the guys that you have on your roster right now, or the guys who were in the lineup when that stuff was happening.
Yeah, and I do think, though, that there is something about, you know, we're not all going to get seven shots either. You know, I think our guys understand that. I think Carson has to take more shots, but they've got to be Carson shots. And Carson shots are different than Luke shots, right? And Brant's shots are different than Robbie shots. And so even the guys off the bench, like, when you come in, adding value with your effort and your toughness, and they're going to be there. And I think that's where this group is. We've got some unique, you know, I think Meidenberger could be a huge difference maker for us this year, but we've got to figure out in what complement can we use him. And his ability to drive the ball and defend the ball is really different than what we have anywhere else on the roster. And so there is some unique things that we can do, I think, and we're going to try to play those out here early in the season to see how we can be at our best.
One of the quests that you've been on since you came to Warsaw has been to develop better shooting. And it was clear after about the first 6 minutes of the first running clock quarter at Kokomo, your guys shot the ball better, and it wasn't just one guy. You had several guys that were making shots from both the medium range and the outside.
Yeah, I think we had 9 guys hit a three. We'd made 14 total in the Kokomo scrimmage, and I think that just goes to show that the work that the guys have been putting in, you know, I think that's has a lot to do with them and their off-season efforts. We're going to kind of cater who we are to what we have, and you know, I think Coach Bricker and Coach Wayne have done a tremendous job this offseason as we've looked at kind of, you know, we've got, Coach Rose always used to talk about a 2-year plan. And we're focused on the 1-year plan, but we have to build the 2-year plan while we're building the 1-year plan. And our ability to kind of look at our group and go, okay, we've got, you know, these pieces, like, how can we expand who we are? And so we've kind of shifted away from some of the stuff we've done the last 2 years offensively to playing in more space, playing in more dribble drive, if you will, taking Luke Yeager kind of from directly posting up on ball side to the backside, because, again, I think his rebound ability is so vital for us. And just, like, telling teams, like, okay, you're going to have to guard us a certain way. And I think we have the versatility in who we are to play a multitude of ways offensively. I think our sets are good. I think our driving action's good. I think our spacing's pretty good. Now it's just, if the ball doesn't die, like, you're going to get a great shot. You just got to continue to play that. And a lot of the credit goes to the guys of just putting in the work.
Can you quantify, and again, they haven't played a quarter yet, can you quantify how big a deal it is to have Robbie Finlinson on one side and Luke Bricker on the other, so that teams can't just focus on one side of the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think it changes completely how you play us. Robbie's ability, and they're different players. Robbie's ability to, you know, just catch it and shoot it. He's 6'3". He's really good going off the bounce, one dribble, pull up. That's a kind of a lost art in basketball. And I think Luke's ability to, he can now play off the drive a lot more, and he keeps his dribble alive. And if he gets to about that 8 to 10 foot mark, both of them can get their shot off. And you know, it's kind of a, like a Dirk Nowitzki. I don't want to call it a fadeaway, but it is a fadeaway. But they have practiced that shot a ton, and it is something in their repertoire. And I don't love it for me, but for them, because I know they work on it, they can get their own shot. And I think then you add someone like Brant Martin, who can also catch and shoot, but also can play off the drive a lot more. You have three guys out there that can catch and shoot at any point and stretch the defense. And then, you know, Parker Justice may arguably be our best shooter in the program at 6'4". You put him in a horse game, like, he's probably the favorite.
He's going to be hard to beat.
So there's going to be opportunities for him as well. So I think we have four or five guys, really, that can really change how you're going to have to guard us. And if you want to zone us, then, man, I really look forward to those opportunities because I think it really, you know, escalates quickly with our ability to get great shots.
Just looking at the roster, you've got several guys that are on both the JV and the varsity rosters. I contend, having done it myself in a different era, that being a player who has some JV quarters and varsity quarters is one of the hardest things to do because you're a part of both teams, right? That's a difficult thing to blend into both. Can you talk about this group of guys that you have on both rosters that you're going to have for two quarters and three or three quarters and two? Because knowing them as I do, and you know them better than I do, it feels like they're the right guys to try to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. It comes down to the right people. And you know, you get the right people on the bus, then you got to get them in the right seats. And you know, I've been saying we have 10 juniors. We have 11 juniors because I had mistakenly, because when Drew Sullivan got out of football, he was out for a little bit with his foot, and so in my mind, I wasn't counting him in practice. So we have 11 juniors, which is such a unique thing. But those guys are all a little bit different. And I think, you know, at Thanksgiving, you just didn't have 11 different turkeys, right? You had mashed potatoes, you had rolls, you had green bean casserole, you had a lot of things to make a meal. And I think that's what we have, is we have a lot of unique different pieces that you can put them together in any circumstance. And the guys that are going to play JV, you know, and I've always said this, I'm going to play eight guys. Like, my rotation is eight. If it gets to nine, it gets to nine. But my expectation going into every year is I'm going to play eight guys. And so if you're 9, 10, 11, 12, like, we want you to still do what you need to do to grow as a player. And basketball minutes are the most important thing that we can provide. So we're going to play you where there's minutes. And so those guys, you know, we saw it last year early in the year. We have guys go down immediately. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, you're called to now play 30 minutes a game versus 13 minutes a game. And I think those guys are willing to accept that challenge and lead our program. And we want all three teams to go over there tonight and compete and leave there 3-0.
Talk about your staff.
Yeah, so Ryan Bricker and David Wayne are back once again with Coach Gunner. That group has been, from the varsity side of things, has been very consistent with what we've tried to do. Jeremy Neely is back as our junior varsity head coach. We have added some new guys. We had some coaches have career changes, and they've moved on to those better pastures, and we've added Mark Bonnefeld, who used to be in the program years ago. He's been a great addition. He'll help with the freshman and JV level. And then Jalen Reese, a former Tiger, former Grace Lancers, back as our freshman head coach. And so, you know, those guys, it's great for me to have guys that wore the uniform. That's really important, because when you have worn the uniform, you're vested in a different way. Not that you can't come from somewhere else and do that, but it just bleeds deeper into your skin and your being when you've been a Tiger and you understand what it's about. And you know, it's been fun because Coach Rhodes has been around quite a bit. He's not necessarily on staff. We call him a basketball consultant. But he comes to practice two or three times a week. He works with us on stuff. And of course, Coach Sumter's back for year 94, 93, whatever he is. And he's been fantastic as well. So I really enjoy my staff, and I'm looking forward to a tremendous year with him.
Who's your first five tonight?
We're going to go Carson Gould, Luke Bricker, Brant Martin, Robbie Finlinson, and Luke Yeager.
Excellent. I can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
If nothing, people have asked me all week, how do you feel? And it's like, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Right? I'm curious to see how this team functions and how they go about their business. I can't wait for tonight.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll see you tonight.
Thank you.
Matt Moore of the Warsaw Tigers. Again, there's donuts out there, so grab one. And if the bag is still out there, take them with you, because I know that you've got hungry mouths to feed and they love donuts back at the Moore household. And those are brought to you by the Warsaw Donut Shop on South Buffalo Street. When we come back, the Tiger Sports Diary next on News Now Warsaw.
The following message is brought to you by Bowers Jewelry, Alderford Brigg & Company, and the Kosciuszko Chamber of Commerce. Well, the holidays are behind us, and the new year is off and running. Well, maybe just walking, but nonetheless, we are moving forward in 2023. As we go about our lives here in Kosciuszko County, we can be grateful for all that we have. We all like to think we have it a little better here than in some other places, and perhaps we do. Certain things seem to matter more to us, like our hometown roots and the feel of our community, right down to the locally owned shops and businesses that are always there for us, eager to please us with their goods and services, and a smile, probably from someone you already know. That's a great part of our community, the moms and pops that own the shops in our town. They help support us in our lives here, because shopping online from some out-of-town store doesn't support our community. So when you need to go shopping, and you do need to go shopping, shop our local stores with a door in Warsaw.
Bad wreck, oh what you gonna do, oh what you gonna do, call them boys in blue, car stalls won't start, oh what you gonna do, oh what you gonna do, call them boys in blue, wreck in any state and need the best rates, take the next step, call Wrecker Dinep, go with the guys who got the best tools, if you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you, bad wreck, oh what you gonna do, call Wrecker Dinep to come get you.
Remember, when you get in a wreck,
call Wrecker Dinep.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
The Lady Tiger wrestling team had another good performance last Saturday at the Rochester Invitational. They had seven competitors and racked up enough wins to get ninth in the team standings. Cannon Yoder, with a 3-1 record with three pins, finished second overall. Mariana Castro went 4-1 with four pins and finished third overall. Natalie Davis was 2-1 with two pins and finished third in her bracket. Kaya Long, 3-2 with two pins and finished fifth. Emily Dawson was sixth in her bracket. She went 2-2 with two pins. Talia Feller, a first-year wrestler, went 1-3, got her first career win and finished eighth in her bracket. And Christina Kolembe, I believe is how you pronounce that, went 1-2 with a pin and did not place in her bracket. We mentioned the varsity games at the Duneland Classic. The junior varsity girls basketball team won their first game over Crown Point, 52-34. Leading the way for Warsaw was Lucy Andrew with 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 9 steals. Sammy Ristrelli had 11 points as she gets her basketball legs from running cross country. Kaylee Gokeen, 10 points and 9 rebounds, and Cassie Jackson, 7 points and 12 rebounds. The girls then came back and beat Merrillville 57-55 to go 2-0 on that day, and then beat Penn 45-21. That ended a long losing streak for the junior varsity teams against the Penn girls. Sammy Ristrelli with 14 points, including 2 three-point baskets. Kaylee Gokeen, 8 points and 12 rebounds. Cassie Jackson, 13 points and 17 rebounds. Warsaw has a couple of really young, promising post players on that junior varsity. They are very exciting to watch. Again, Jackson, 13 points, 17 rebounds, and 5 steals for the Lady Tigers in the victory. That's it so far. But the other teams get going today. The boys wrestling team is at the Wawasee Super Duels. That's underway at Wawasee High School today. They will play Wawasee, and that'll be a conference match against Wawasee when it comes up in the schedule today. The swimming and diving teams begin their regular season at home against Wawasee at the WCHS pool. That just started about 20 minutes ago. And all three boys basketball teams will be in action tonight. Freshmen and JV at 6. The new school at Columbia City has an auxiliary gym literally right across the hall from the main gymnasium. So the JV and freshmen simultaneously begin at 6, varsity in the main gym after the JV. Our coverage begins at 5:55 for JV coverage on News Now Warsaw. On Monday, the freshman boys will be back at it. They go to Tippecanoe Valley for a 6:15 start. The girls' basketball team on Tuesday will host Northwood. That is a 6:15 JV start. Our coverage begins at 7:25 on News Now Warsaw. And the wrestling team will go on the road to take on a very powerful Mishawaka team. There are no events on Wednesday. On Thursday, the boys and girls swimmers will be at Northwood at 5 o'clock, and the wrestling team will host Goshen at 6:45 in the Tiger Den. Then next Saturday, or I'm sorry, next Friday, the boys' basketball teams, all three of them, will host Homestead, JV, and freshman at 6 o'clock, JV in the Career Center. Freshman in the Career Center, JV in the Tiger Den. Varsity will follow that. We'll have coverage at 5:55 on News Now Warsaw. The girls next Friday begin their Indies stretch as they go to Ben Davis. All three teams are playing, freshman and JV at 6. Varsity will follow that. We will give you score updates during the junior varsity and varsity boys games here in the Tiger Den. Then next Saturday, Warsaw hosts their Super Duels meet, and that will be in the T-Rack and on all the courts down at that end of the building. Swimming and Diving is hosting their Invitational next Saturday. The girls' basketball team, JV and varsity, will be at Westfield next Saturday evening, and the boys, freshman, JV, and varsity, will be hosting Huntington North, and the JVs will begin at 6:15. The freshmen also at 6:15, varsity at 7:45, and you can hear the JV boys game starting at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. We'll come back and wrap things up here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade, and with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
And now for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company. Here's Roger.
It's good to have Coach Moore back in the studio. We've been off with him since the first week of March. Glad to have him back. Good to have Coach Krebs here today. Excited about the game on Tuesday in the conference, and then fascinated to see how they do in their road trip to Indianapolis next weekend. And again, during the boys' games next Friday and Saturday, we'll be getting score updates from the Warsaw Stat Crew, Jay Anderson, and will be emailing me the updates of the quarters, and we'll be able to pass those along to you on the boys' coverage. Thank you to Coach Huber for sending in his stuff. We look forward to meeting with Tony DeBroda, and he'll be sending his information on the swimming teams. Plus, we will also, of course, be talking about gymnastics. Their season doesn't start until after the new year. They start in January. So we'll be all over the winter sports all winter long here on News Now Warsaw. And again, if you were just tuning in today for the first time, the mission of this show is simple. You heard it today. It's to connect the teams at Warsaw Community High School with you, the people in the Warsaw community, so that you know when they play, how they've been doing, and you get kind of the cross-section of what's happening with their seasons. So the whole purpose is for you to go out, get your all-sports pass, and go cheer for the Tigers during their home meets, and if you feel so inclined, go to their road events as well. So that's the goal. We're here each and every Saturday. We will take the 23rd of December and the 30th of December off for the holidays. But then we'll be here every other Saturday starting at 9 o'clock throughout the winter all the way until after the boys' basketball season is over. So whenever that ends, that last game, we'll have a show to kind of encapsulate that. And we'll probably have another show after that so that we can talk about the other teams at Warsaw Community High School. So that's how we roll here on Tiger Talk. We thank R&B Car Company for their support as the title sponsor. We especially thank the people at Warsaw Donuts down on South Buffalo Street in Warsaw. That's the formerly the Wabash Donut Shop. Now it's the Warsaw Donut Shop. Donuts are still the same, and they taste really good. So stop by there on your way to church or work or whenever. And we thank them for supplying donuts for our coaches today. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay tuned. Gary Sullivan is coming up.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger Sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana.